On a Tuesday, we like to talk about some of the think programming that we have here on 2SER. We've got three award-winning programs, Think Digital Futures, Think Sustainability, and then one we're chatting about today, Think Health. Jake Morecambe is the host. A very good morning to you.
Good morning.
Now, what are we talking about for today's Think Breakfast?
So we're actually talking about a program that aired a couple of weeks ago. This was as part of National Diabetes Week, which was from the 9th of July up until the 15th. It's essentially a week that, you know, will raise issues around diabetes, type 1, type 2, gestational diabetes. And so for the show, I really wanted to kind of cover the whole gamut, speak to a number of people who live with all types of diabetes.
That is a broad topic to try and ram into one show.
And it is, because also these figures, when I went into the program, didn't realize just how widespread it was. 1.7 million Australians live with diabetes. That's to equate it to, I guess, smaller numbers for you to comprehend. It's 280 Australians each day, which is one person every 5 minutes. That's pretty crazy.
Wow.
Just the exponential. And that's growing as well, population growth. And then also when it comes to type 1, you can't predict it. Type 2, you can. It's more so recently being relayed to lifestyle choices. And gestational diabetes is for women of whom are pregnant. They experience it during the term of pregnancy. And then when they give birth, it actually goes away.
You know, I didn't know that. I got to admit, I knew very little about gestational diabetes. Wow.
But the thing that we will look at in the show as well is that gestational diabetes actually puts women at greater risk of developing type 2 down the track. Not going to explain why, because you have to listen to the program. But what I also wanted to cover in this show as well is there are ways to manage and treat diabetes. You might be familiar with kind of like the blood, like the test strips. So yep. They'll prick themselves and then they'll test their blood sugar levels. There's also insulin pumps or insulin pens that are majoritively used by those who live with type 1. But there's some crazy stuff going on in terms of scientific research, looking at new innovations in treatment, even mocking the effects of parasitic worms in the stomach to develop new drugs, oral drugs to take so that it can treat diabetes. This is a brain warp, I know.
What? Wow.
So I actually spoke to a woman from the University of Technology, Sydney, and she looks at parasitic worms in relation to a number of autoimmune diseases. And she's looking at places around the world where people already have these parasitic worms in their stomachs, and has found that when they do have that, they have lower rates of autoimmune disorders. So to kind of, I guess, entry level into this world of what parasitic worms can do in this field, have a listen to this. So when you get a cold or a bacterial infection, your body naturally responds by trying to expel that bacteria. So you start sniffing, coughing, you get a chill or a fever. That's your immune response trying to protect you from a nasty bacteria and help you get better. But when you're infected with a parasite, that's a different story. When you have a parasite inside you, in your gut, your normal immune response doesn't work. And that's because the parasite has nestled itself well into your tissue and called your gut its new home.
So the parasite lives in your body for quite a long time.
Sometimes up to 15 years. And after 15 harmonious years together, gut and parasite have become one. And the way your immune response responds to things like a cold or even an autoimmune disease is completely different. Instead, that worm will act as some sort of sentinel gatekeeper and stop foreign bacteria from harming you.
So it's almost going beyond parasite and almost symbiotic, in the sense that you're actually getting a weird benefit from it.
And not to kind of say that this is the be-all, end-all solution, because in a number of developing countries where people actually live with parasites inside their gut, mind you that a lot of them tend to seep up through the crevices in people's feet because they don't wear shoes, so they can kind of nestle themselves in and go upwards. Disgusting, I know, just to hear it. But they have evolved to kind of live together. But also in a number of developing countries, they have too many parasites. And that's what presents a number of problems. What Sheila, who you heard from there, Sheila Donnelly from the University of Technology Sydney, is trying to do is inject test subjects with parasites into their gut and see how many is a good number to have so that it can reduce the, reduce your chances of developing an autoimmune disorder, which does seem to work. And from there, instead of injecting the worms, kind of mock the effects and synthesize these drugs you can take orally so that, you know, it has the same effect.
This is incredible because only in, you know, the Western first world could we be worried about having just the right amount of parasites.
This is exactly what Sheila said as well. She was kind of finding it pretty humorous. It's like, yes, well, we do have the luxury in the developed and Western world to be like, oh, well, I'm just going to inject myself with 10 worms or 15 worms, see if that's the right amount of numbers. But sometimes in developing countries, they do have upwards of 100, which can lead to more like complications in terms of cognitive disorders, the whole gamut, really.
Shocking.
So it's about finding a middle ground and then also trying to break that stigma that parasitic worms are like completely bad. That because they have co-evolved with us as well to purposefully do things inside us.
I think it's another incredible example of scientific progress coming from the weirdest areas imaginable.
This is applicable to things like multiple sclerosis as well, other autoimmune disorders. It's just going to the next level. And I think by covering this program, we're able to identify what diabetes is and research going into this area that's looking at new innovative treatments and ways to manage the disease, which unfortunately is incurable. But hey, maybe this is another way to take it to the next step.
Maybe it is. Hey, if people want to listen to Think Health Live, I know this is an older episode they can catch up on via podcast from the 2SER.com website. How do people listen live?
People listen live. It airs on Sunday mornings here on 2SER 107.3. We're at 10 o'clock, so you can listen in then. New program coming for you this weekend as well. But go back and listen to this episode as well. We're on iTunes. We're on your favorite podcast app. Just search for Think Health. Leave us a review while you're there. Listen to Worm Story. If you like it, give us a couple of stars. Let me know what you think. It really does help us get discovered.
Jake Morecambe, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We will talk more Think programming this time next week.